This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
You may sit down, but just keep your eyes closed. It is as if God shared, not as if He showed me. There's many angels around us now. And just sit quiet. Focus on that. Angels are in between us, around us, sheltering us, encouraging us, helping us to carry our burdens, guiding us. Special messengers. Thank you for your angels who could sing with us. Thank you for your angels sitting around us. It is so special. Thank you, Lord. You say they bring an anointing. Thank you for the anointing, Lord. Just sitting next to you and saying, open up your heart, don't be afraid, I'm with you. We're gonna do this together. God save me. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for every angel that's here. We love you so much, Lord, and as the song was, that's who we are. We are loved by you. It is so special, Lord. We are loved by you. Doesn't matter how we struggle. You're patient. You send helpers. You guide us. You're never tired or lazy. You never had it with us. You love us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We are prepared, Lord. We want to hear what is on your heart today. We want to hear what you want us to let go of and to give to you. And you know, symbolically, I think I see just how the angels carry stuff away from us. Those that doesn't belong with us. Those things that's not part of us. But it feels as if it's part of you. Because you don't know how to let go. But thank you, Lord, that you will share. Thank you, Lord, that you will guide. Thank you that you will bring us wisdom and understanding of how this process must work. But thank you for your readiness, Lord. We appreciate it so much. It's beautiful, Amen. Thank you so much. There's something special on this room, I don't know. We don't have coffee, we don't have cake. But there is something special that God has on His heart for us today. Forgiveness. I think so many of us has heard so many things of forgiveness. And while I was preparing, God just rushed a whole lot of thoughts through my mind. So I'm going to share that now with you. So hang in there. What jumps up in your heart when you hear this, when you hear forgiveness? What stirs up? What jumps up? Is it comfortable, uncomfortable? Sometimes we say, I've heard it so many times and it doesn't work. People do not do this. They keep grudges, they keep offenses. I've tried it, and the other person walks out free. And I'm stuck with the hurt and the pain. You know, God says, forgive one another. I try and just feel guilty later and picking it up again. I cannot forget. It hurts just too much. No one will expect you to forgive what happened to me. I'm tired of this forgiveness thing. It doesn't work. It's some of the God things that stay a theory. I really try and I really fail. Perhaps one day in heaven, if the other person was wrong and he asks forgiveness, perhaps then I will give him forgiveness. But that person who's responsible for my pain, for the pain that brought so much pain in our family, pain in my mom, pain of not being there, of not provide, pain of bankruptcy, people who stole actually my father's business, and we couldn't cope, we couldn't get around. Must I forgive them? The pain my mom had to endure because of so many wrongs that has been done to her. The pain I had to endure because of my father drinking or fighting or not paying for my school or not taking me to the doctor when needed. The neglect of my parents. The pain of not being nurtured as a baby or when I was a small child. Parents were partying, socializing. We're never home. The pain of not fitting in. Pain of being bullied and still being bullied. The pain of feeling God was nowhere. He forgot me. He's not interested in me. He doesn't care. Where was he when all these things happened? The pain or surprise or hurt of being accused of something you didn't do or you were not part of. The pain of losing a loved one and you cannot make sense out of it. As a baby, a son, a daughter, a mom, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather that actually went too early, a friend. How do you expect me to forgive God and or the person responsible for, an instance, a car accident? That someone died or neglect in hospital or a drunk driver that killed anyone. These murders and shootings at the Christmas markets, how can you expect me to forgive if my loved ones are dead because of that? Even the plane, there was planes that, I know of one plane that fell and everyone died inside it. Because it was never serviced well enough. There was not money enough. So those who had to take care couldn't because there was no money, but it had to fly. So sorry for you if you were in that plane. How can we forgive, Lord? This is terrible. And this is real. That's okay. This is real. Your heart's ache cannot understand. And I think that's why God sent his angels today for us, so that we can make some sense out of this. Because What God expects from us is to forgive, but it's actually impossible. Because it's so difficult and it hurts so much. And I just felt when I prepared the sermon, God says, but ask wisdom of me. And in the word in James 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. We don't want to be that. So we really want to ask God to give us wisdom in faith. So I'm just going to pray a few sentences. Father God, this is your word. You say we can ask you wisdom. We come today, Lord, and I ask you wisdom. And as I see small little zips being pulled down of our hearts, that our hearts can open to receive. Lord, we ask wisdom and understanding of what you have on your heart for us. Help us. And thank you that you're a good Father, that you will not give us stones. You will give us a heart of flesh. You will give us and bring us understanding. Because this is who you are. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. So let's start with the hard stuff. The example prayer of Jesus, which he gave us, I think most of us know it, is in Matthew 6, verse 12. And it says, and forgive us our debts. We pray that, no? Father, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Did we? Did we forgive them? No, I don't think we often forgive them. We don't forget them often. Some things you can release if it's not too painful, if it doesn't bother you too much. But if it's really hard and in you, but this is what we pray. Do we forgive those who owe us? And then it goes even on. So the word is really strict on this. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. This is not kind of funny. So how Lord, how must we do this forgiveness? And I thought of going to how God does it, how he shares it with us. He just shares forgiveness. What I want to say here with these verses is, it doesn't say when you feel like it, or you're in the mood, or when it doesn't hurt anymore, or when that person is dead, or it doesn't say when you must do it. It says do it. So it's not an emotional thing. It's not a thing that, yes, I first want to cry and I first want to sulk and I first want to curse this person and then perhaps I will forgive it. No, God doesn't say that. He said do it now. And there's no condition attached to it. So in a sense, what Caroline shared with the offering is, it's in a sense obedience. Yeah. So how do we know when we are forgiven? I can perhaps share it now, but me and Darkan had a huge difference with his dad, and it was 2 years, and I was so scared of he's a big guy, intimidating guy. So when I spoke of him, my intestines will just go like that, and he was not close by. He was far away, but it was so intimidating. And when I had to speak to him on the phone, I was sweating and my heart was pumping. And then I will explain to myself, Renee, what can he do to you? He's far. He's not close by. Yes, he says horrible things and it's intimidating, but yeah, so what? I couldn't get myself over it. It was just too difficult. And when did it took me, I think, more than a year to constantly forgive, set free, bless, give, set free, bless. That now I can speak of him and with him without having that. Being free of this rotten emotion inside of me. And then I think, okay, it's done. That one is done. So I think then we can know that you've really forgiven. When your emotions is calm about it. But don't trust your emotions always. No, some of you have been for the explanation of the deliverance on Friday. Your emotions, it's not always cool. Okay? Comes from three places, but that's another topic. Okay. So, it's easier to understand what is forgiveness not. This helped me a lot. When I was still in a religious church and we did a Bible study on this, and it helped me so much to understand what it's not, because I always thought you have to forgive and then you must be big buddies and you must make as if you must do and as if nothing happened and you really like this person. Well, it was so fake to me. I couldn't forgive, because then they say, yeah, I forgive, but I don't forget. Then I think, what's the difference? There is a difference. But this is not what forgiveness is. So it's not to say that what happened was right. It's not to say that what happened was right. If God hates sin, it didn't change suddenly when you had to forgive someone. Wrong is wrong, right is right. Okay, when you walk in the street and someone purposefully puts his feet out so that you can fall, that he can have a laugh, that was not right. It's not cool. Okay, all the rotten stuff that was stirred up in your heart in the beginning of the sermon, it's things that was not right. It's stuff that's not cool. So forgiveness is not to say that it's suddenly now cool and okay. It's also not to say that you did not experience pain or that it does not still hurt. Okay? When women come to me, girls or older women, and they were, I always use the extreme, but if they were raped, often they were raped by family. If I say to them, you need to forgive, how can you forget? How can you do that? You cannot. It is impossible. And then it says, you still, forgiveness doesn't mean that it didn't pain. It can still hurt. You can still struggle with it. Okay? So that's also not to measure forgiveness on. Okay? And then, if you took this to court, the person would most probably have been guilty. Often we cannot take people to court. Often these things that hurt us the most, there's no court for it. But you know, God knows. God knows, and his heart aches for us. Because of a loveless world, there's lots of difficulties and pain. Okay, so yes, that person most probably would have been found guilty. And it does not mean that you have to have a relationship with that person again. This was a big relief to me. I always thought you must be cool now with each other and say, oh, okay, we're big friends. No, you don't have to. If that person raped you, I just take that example. If that person raped you, you can forgive him, but if he comes and visits at your house again, you will never spend time with him in the same room. You shut yourself up in your own room. You may protect yourself. You may put up boundaries. That course of Henry Wright that I shared on Friday, he said something when he taught it. He said, I will never send a woman back into an abusive relationship, even if she's married to that guy. That's not God's will. Yes, God is for marriage. But he's against the horrible stuff that sometimes happen in marriage. And then he says, I will not send someone back. It was Henry Wright that said that. So It's not that you need to put yourself on the floor and everyone can kick you and you must be now this Christian and just say, yeah, okay, and turn the other cheek. No, you can't stand up and say, stop it now. This will not go on. You may have authority. You're not going to curse him. You're not going to say, yeah, ba-da-da-da-da. But you may put up a boundary to not be hurt constantly. I often share that I had difficult relationships with my family. I so much wanted to be loved. And the more I wanted that, the more I felt they cannot love me the way I am. And it hurt me so much. I cried for weeks, I cried for months, I cried for years. It never changed. I tried to explain it this way, I tried to explain it that way. Never changed. And then God said to me, but you must put up a boundary. You must say, it's now fine. I'm not going to let you close in my life anymore. And that also hurt because I so much want to share life with them. But it hurts too much. So then he said, no, you put up the boundary. So sometimes I use this example also on Friday. Sometimes the mother-in-law doesn't know her boundaries. And it's often the mom of the husband, the mom of the man, of the men. She wants to be still a little part of her son's life. And you overstep, as a mother-in-law, you overstep that boundary sometimes. And but you know, her son must say, stop, mom, this is not your space. I can be sometimes a little involved, or I don't know what you call it. So I said to Bernard, I'm a little one, yo, Bernard, this is not cool, you cannot do this. And Bernard, it was rather private. And then his wife heard me, and she said, no, mom, this doesn't work this way. And Bernard stood up and he said, mom, this is not your space, you need to back off. And actually, it was so special. Actually, it was so cool, because I know he's protecting his wife. I know he chooses her first. And that is the place. And I can now sulk in my bedroom. Oh, he doesn't love me. It's not that. It's not my space. It's not my authority anymore. It's the new husband's place. So you may put up boundaries. That's not loveless. No? Okay. And then, yes, that was the last one of what is forgiveness not. Okay, so what is it? What is it then? If it's not those, it is to say, I stop with it now, I let it go. Even though the other person wasn't wrong, even though you have so much pain, even though it's not fair, even though you're still struggling in your pain, you let it go. It is finished. What we do with that is we don't go there anymore. At the end of the sermon, we will have time to set the people free and bless them. But you're not going to go back there. So that is also actually a boundary or a wall for yourself. Forgive, set free and bless, and leave it there. Your brain, my brain is like that, often wants to go back. Oh, but it was really terrible. It was really super terrible. How can you let them go like that? That's not fair. Yes, it is not fair. It is. Life is not fair. It's not fair. If you've done school, you know life is not fair. Not everything that happens in class is fair. Okay? So, yes, it is not fair. But let it go. You're not supposed to carry this baggage. You're not supposed... Sorry. I just see the angels are opening big bag and they're throwing stuff in. So here we go. Thank you, Lord. I'm so happy. The Strong's says, Strong's is the... It's a dictionary where you can look up the original meaning of the word. And it says it's to take away, to carry off, to send forth, to lift. Go. It's not part of you anymore. Let it be. Okay? How does God forgive? This is just how intense forgiveness is. And God realizes that. And it's beautiful. We're first going to look at a few explanations of what is sin, what is trespasses, what is iniquities. Okay, so just to grasp the whole thing of forgiveness, because sometimes we want to make it less intense, or it's a small sin, you know. It's a white lie, but we need to lie white. I don't know how you call that, but sometimes you cannot really tell the truth, or sometimes you tell a story. You know the Jezebels, they are good in that. They tell a story, but they leave out the parts so that they will look good. But if they would have shared with you that part, they would not have looked so good. That's a lie. They actually tell you a lie. It's lying. If you do that, you manipulate the truth. It's a lie. It's a sin. Okay, what is sin? All sin is a deviation from a standard to which we ought to be conformed. Okay, the standard is God's standard. What does God want from us? So all sin is a deviation from that. Every sin is an apostasy or rebellion against God. It is a living to yourself. It's a shaking off of obedience to God. I think we can identify with it very quickly. To be obedient to God is not always easy. And when I struggled with this love with my family, and I so much wanted their love, then God would say, okay, stop it now and get your boundary in place. And then something would happen, and then I say, Lord, I know I must do that, but really, I just want to go with them and have a good day, and perhaps they will think good of me. So I bribe God to get favor from people. That is just wrong. So it was for myself. I thought this is for myself better. And often when we think of things, where must I work? Where must I live? Who must I marry? It's for ourselves. If you think there was a guy in the Bible, he had to marry a prostitute. That was really not fun. Isaiah, was it Isaiah?
Yeah.
And then I think, wow, Lord, that must have been terrible. Wow. Okay. So that is sin. What is then a trespass? It's to enter someone's land or property without permission, take advantage of a person's hospitality. That is also a trespass. I never knew that. But say, for instance, people are hospitable and you just are disrespectful of it and you take more. Or say, for instance, you sleep over at someone and you take with you the duvet and the soap and the shampoo and you carry on to the next place. That's just not cool. Okay, that's a trespass. My mother used to, in South Africa, often you have roads that end in nothing, and then it says in a little board on a gate, do not trespass, this is private property. That board went to my mom, enter. Yeah, and then I said, but mom, we cannot enter. Oh yeah, that's for other people, it's not for me. And then we would enter, and I would hate it, because it said no. And I was so scared someone will shoot us or whatever, something ridiculous would happen. But that is trespassing. Even though you cannot understand why may you not wander on this beautiful part of the earth, you're not welcome there. No, it's not your place. Okay, that's trespassing. Transgression, an act that goes against law, or rule or code of conduct, an offense, even an offense. Opposite is obedience or law abiding. So I found the Dutch, we as Dutch people are actually, to an extent, law abiding. You know, we love
laws and we try to live with them. It was beautiful when me and Sana went to the embassy on last week. And we have to do something extra and then we can come back. But then they say, you can only come back on the 9th of January. But she needs to fly the 31st of January. So to apply for a visa then, perhaps a little too short. No? They say it can take 3 months, so that will be definitely very short. And then I said, oh, but she's going to fly then, and so on. And then suddenly a little paper was shown to us underneath the little glass thing, and it said 20 December. Actually, that is not law abiding. It's favor, we can say it's favor. But she was not allowed to speak that out loud. She was also not prepared. She just did it. So this Africa often works this way. If you have money and you can bribe, you get along. They expect it. I know if you drive in Zimbabwe, suddenly you see this officer in the jungle. And then he says, I spoke to a lady in England and she said she went on mission. I don't know where in Africa. It was not Zimbabwe. And she said she hired a driver because she was too scared to drive herself. And she said, suddenly, in the wilderness, still an hour drive from where they needed to go, there was an officer. And he came to her window and he said, your driver is driving too fast. You need to pay money now. Otherwise, we're going to take him into jail. Nowhere says how much you can drive. It's a dirt road. It is in nowhere. That's bribery. But Africa often works like that. And then she said, yeah, she doesn't have money. Well, then sorry, then we are taking the driver. Eventually, they let them go. That's not cool. Okay. That is transgressions. Okay, and then we have iniquities. Iniquities is the thing that we inherit. Okay? In the Bible, we learn often iniquities. In Dutch, it's ongerechtigheden. It's a very classy word. But I don't think any one of us know what that means. Oh. Okay, iniquities. It's a perversity. That, or a moral evil, it's a twisting of something, or it's twisted. And it's the opposite of righteousness. So it's unrighteousness. And that is what we inherit often. That's the sins that come down the bloodline to the third and the fourth generation. I'll speak about it a little later. But it's a bend in your family. It is a typical Van der Veen thing. Or intimating. From my family is lots of manipulation. My family is super good in that. I also was. But Van der Veens tend to be very quickly angry. Dad can also have it. His father had it, as you know. I was intimidated by this, by my father-in-law. But our older son had it, and I shared it on Friday. And since we knew that this is a bent in the family, but it's actually not part of who God created us, they could both repent, Darkan and our son, and they don't have it. Darkan is not so short-tempered anymore. He's not short-tempered anymore. Today was a challenging day for us. So I just share with you. There was lots of misunderstanding. But I still respect you. Okay, iniquities. Good. What does God do with the sins, the trespasses, the transgressions, and the iniquities? In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, He removes it as far as the east is from the west. So far does He remove our transgressions from us. This is when we repented. It's not just because this is who He is. there is a prerequisite. It is to repent. Okay? But then he removes it as far as from the east from the west, and then I wonder, how far is that? How far is the east from the west? It's all around the earth again and again and again. Or what? I don't know. But it's far. Okay. You can't find it anymore. The other one is that in Isaiah 1 verse 18 it says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." So today we were blessed to see a little snow. So snow is quite white. In I've once heard a psalm, I think it was the Griqua psalms or something, and people in Africa don't know always what is snow, so they said like a sheep that was washed in Omo. So that is very white. Okay? God makes us terrible. We are full of mud. We are terrible. We are like a pig in the mud. We struggle. We struggle. It's difficult. It's hard. We cry, and then we roll again in the mud, and then God comes and washes us clean, and we look as white as snow. It is beautiful. Then this verse, you asked me on Friday, Exodus 34 verse 7. There's a few of them in the Bible. I just used one. God keeps steadfast love for thousands of generations, for thousands, okay? I always used to say, blessings in your families is for thousands of generations. And we can see that often in generations. Dargan's family is very good in business. So you will see often they study that, they go into either accounting or business or those type of things. It's the blessing that come down in the family line. Germans, I've experienced as very musical. They either all play a music instrument and think it's normal, and they can sing as well, which is also not normal. But that's typically what I perceive in the Germans. What I see in the Jews is their business. Eh? They can do business.
Yeah.
They know how to do business with one another and be there for one another and make money and whatever. They're good in that. So yes, thousands. Think of your family. Think of the blessings that come down in your family. What is your family good in? No? They will be typically, that is typically your family. They will be good in that. Think now of the positive, huh? And okay, so God says to the thousands of generations, he's keeping that up. Keeping steadfast love for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Here we get all three. He forgives all three. Yeah? So that is a humongous package. I again see those bags. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. What I interpret there is I ask God, and this is what I got, is that this, say for instance, your father was an alcoholic. You will suffer because of his brokenness. No? So it will visit you in that sense. You get hurt because of his inadequacy. No? Visiting the inquisitor of the, I want to make another example. Okay, well, yeah. Also, we see that some things we inherit, like breast cancer, you can inherit. Addictions, you can inherit. The medical people will say you have a tendency towards that. No? My sister, one of my sisters, I have four, we are four. She says, well, she definitely has a tendency to addiction. She smokes since the age of 18. She's the only one that smokes of all six of us. But once I realized that my grandfather, I grew up in South Africa, so I didn't know my family who lived here. But then later I realized, someone came and visited us, and he said my grandfather died of syphilis, and he also drank a lot. So then you know in the family there is difficulties with lust, but there's also difficulties with addiction. Addiction goes with lovelessness. It's just a placement, a replacement of lovelessness. And so my sister who says, yes, she has a tendency towards addictions, yeah, she could have inherited it because it comes down our bloodline. I've read a book, When Pigs Move In, also shared that on Friday, that it was this pastor who did deliverance in jail, and this person that was in prison was delivered, and his dad, this person in jail's dad, was an alcoholic, but this guy not. So later on he was released, and about 3 or so years later, his dad died, and since then he's addicted. Then I think, how crooked is this world? How bad? But we can inherit. And then that's why the Israelites stood before God and on behalf of the ancestors and themselves, they repented. Because repentance can take this, can stop it. Okay, and that's what we're going to do at the end. We're going to repent for our own sin that jumped up in your heart. And if it's a generational thing, on behalf of your ancestors. Because it's as easy as that. Okay. 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here we get the word unrighteousness again. It was with iniquities. It's unrighteous. So here God says, okay, then unrighteousness will go. But actually all the curses will go. If we repent, He will forgive us, and He's faithful. And we sang that song, He's a Good Father. I can testify of how many things God set me free, because He's faithful. He is faithful. He sets you free. You can go without this. Okay. The example that is... I don't think one of us can do that. But in Luke 23:34, it says, Jesus was hanging on the cross, and then he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So even there, the example is, if people do not know, they often do not know how much they hurt you. Or sometimes they do. It's on purpose. But sometimes your parents or your family doesn't even really understand how much you were hurt. Forgive them, because they don't know even. And Jesus gave us this example. Forgive them. They don't know, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. I think if we all were godly, really, truly, truly godly, then a lot less hurt and pain would have happened. And it's, I wrote here, it's also very difficult to forgive people in church. I struggled with it, and I'm getting there. But you expect people that is long in church to be kind of holy and to cannot make mistakes. Ugh, just get that mindset out. Because I can tell you, me and Dad can make lots of trouble. When we had this misunderstanding on the road, Sana was walking with me. We had some prophetic actions that we did. And Sana said, I sense the devil is coming between you. I'm going to pray now. I said, yes, you pray now. Because really, there is no one that is perfect. Even if he was a pastor for 28 years or, I don't know, 80 years. We cannot be perfect. And as you want grace from leaders, have grace for leaders. They try. And they are accountable to God, but they can miss it. And it is terrible when a church hurt you or people in the church hurt you. It's really not fun. I had to forgive the religious church I came out from. They are a big movement in South Africa. It's most people belong to that church. And it was so difficult for me to understand that so many people can be deceived. And why did no one tell me of whatever, it's another topic. But just let it go. You know, they are deceived, they don't know. And often it's not because their hearts are at the wrong place. They just don't know always, or they are incapable of. Remember that God gave us blessings, but also a personality. So sometimes one personality struggles more in a thing than another personality. I have a prophet gift, and that means that I can see very white and black. So I can be very buff. No, it's not always so kind. It is who God made me, and I try to be kind, but sometimes I struggle. Because I just say, it is wrong. Can't you see? And no, you cannot see. So then I try to explain, but sometimes I'm not so good. So yes, we have personalities. Some people are very good with people. Others are not so good with people. It's who God made them. It's not to say that they are terrible or they do things necessarily wrong. Okay. The last, we are nearly there. Good. Romans 12 verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And this is sometimes difficult, because we want to just kick that person, or even more. My brother, you are still young. I was pregnant of our second child, and I was at about 28. So he's 10 years younger than me, so he was 18. And I walked around the block, and I came back, and my mom accused me of something that he told her. That was totally not the truth. I don't know where he caught that, out of some fantasy. I was so cross with him. I had this tummy, and I had to wash the dishes with him, but as I dried that pot, that pan, I just want to hit him over the head with that pan. I just want to crash him, because it was so not right. But yeah, God says, no, it's not for you. You're not supposed to do that. Once in church, leaders also accused me of things that was not right. Oh, and I cried to God. I said, Lord, have you seen what they do? And this is so bad. And now I look like the moon and da 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 da. And God says, leave it. I'll restore your honor. And I said, but how and when? And according to me, it never happened. 3 years later, I realized, oh, it did happen. And he restored it even to a higher level than what it was before. And then I think, okay, Lord, you know better. You know better. I just had to leave it. I just had to forgive the people and had to let go. And not put up a fight and not say, yeah, but you're rude and it's not true. And no, I just left it. So it is for God. It's not for us. And if we leave it for God, as these angels are ready here to take that what we want to give, if we leave it for God, it is just the best. It comes. Your healing comes. And I was set free of it when I left it. I was still grumpy for a while. And then I forgot about it. And then later, after 3 years, I realized how it's totally reversed. So it's really awesome how this works. The nearly the last slide is consequences of unforgiveness. You can get bitter. Bitterness is terrible. When you see old people in bitterness, they are grumpy, life is terrible, no one is kind, everyone is against them. They have so much hurt in themselves. They can't give love. They are so bitter. Life treated them so badly. And they couldn't forgive. Okay? Life is not cool with any one of us. Life is tough. Life is not friendly. Life is difficult. But John, you will be stuck with bitterness, and bitterness will bring you diseases as well. Like you can get arthritis or you get ulcers or bitterness messes up your body. Okay, the enemy gets you twice, because now you've got unforgiveness and you've got bitterness. And you know, and those people who hurt you, they just walk on in life. They don't even care where you are. And you've got two things now to struggle with. Okay? So it's not very clever. You're not living in God's will. It's that obedience thing that Caroline also shares. It steals your joy. Unforgiveness steals your joy. You struggle to be joyful because your brain the whole time thinks of how bad is that those other people and how they hurt you and how terrible it is and so on and so on until you sulk the day over and thought of all your events plans and then you don't do it because you know you cannot, but then tomorrow you start thinking of that again. So it really steals your joy. It steals the love that you supposed to have for one another. It steals the blessing you're supposed to be to the rest of the world. It just steals. You become this sour, discontent person. Okay, that was it. It steals your peace as well. And your joy, okay? You can get depressed. I didn't know, but suppressed anger can go into depression. Suppressed anger because I think you suppress the anger because it's not school. You cannot really hit him with a pot over there. So you must keep a cool face. But that is so difficult. And you get depressed because actually you cannot get this anger, let it go. You cannot do this thing that you so much want to. And then you get depressed. So then there the enemy has you twice. He knows how to multiply you. And you stay angry. You're never happy. Not never, but fewer times happy and joy. You know, Jesus came to set us free. Jesus died on the cross for us, that we can forgive. He will forgive our sins, as we read, immediately, as soon as we repent. So let's just get rid of our own pride and stubbornness and righteousness for, yes, but those people, you know what they did. Terrible things. Otherwise, you wouldn't have struggled so much. It will be terrible. It is not kind. And it's not that you set them free. You set yourself free. So that you can fly. And you can be the blessing. And you can show how it works. The world is full of broken people. And it's really a chance we God can set us free of. Okay, let's wrap up. Forgiveness. It's not so easy as what the word says. We also learn what is forgiveness not, okay? And what is forgiveness is to let go. And what do we need to forgive for or of or whom? It is our sins, transgressions, trespasses, and iniquities. We need to get that out of our hearts. Okay, and forgive the people that hurt you and yourself and perhaps God, because often we accuse God. Where were you when I was right? You know, this is a cool God. He's not there when he's needed. He was there, and he's also hurt because of that. But this is how the rules on earth work. It's when people make wrong choices, it makes other people hurt, and it is terrible. But God says, I sent Jesus so that you can be set free of those hurts. It's not that you will not be hurt. We will go through the valley of the shadow of death. Thank you. We will. But we can get better through it with God. And I still see the angels here. I still see how they are ready. So let's stand and... I don't want the worship team to come up. You can just also stand or sit. If you're really tired, you can sit, but you've sat now long. Okay. What popped up in your heart? Yeah. What popped up in your heart when the sermon started? When I said forgiveness. And I went through that whole list. Just keep it for yourself. What popped up in your heart? What is the biggest thing that you struggled with? What you just feel it in your heart, boo, this is still there. This is not supposed to be there. So let's bring that to God, and you can stay with that and let go of it. While you stand there, Eunice will play us a song. Oh, is it at the back? Okay, we'll play us a song. Repent. Repent of that thing. Say, sorry, Lord. Sorry that I still have this unforgiveness. Sorry that I still have this wrong thinking or trespass or sin or whatever, and I don't want to forgive. Sorry, Lord. Forgive the person. Say, I forgive my mom for being such a bad mom. Or I forgive my dad for not being there. Or I forgive the people who shot my brother at the Christmas market. What, anything. Forgive those. Name them for God. Say, Lord, I forgive. I forgive da. Okay? And then say, Lord, I set them free. I set my mom free. I set this person free who shot at the market. I set this ungodly attack on me. I just forgive those people and I set them free. And I bless them. I bless them. May they be a blessing. May they come closer to God. May they have a God, spirit filled of God, and hopefully this failure of them, that it may turn into a blessing. Okay? Pray that they will be a blessing. Just go through these few steps. And if you only do one today, it's also fine. But try and do more than one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that your arms are open wide. Thank you that you gave us forgiveness. Thank you that I see these angels with everyone a big bag that's bulky and a zip that is closed, full of things that doesn't belong with us, Lord. I pray that you will take it captive and that it will not return in the name of Jesus Christ. We command it to go under the feet of Jesus and you will not return. Father, I ask you that you will come and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill every place where bitterness was, where unforgiveness was, where we had so much other things in our heart but not for you. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.
This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.